All right, Dr. David Hertzberg is with us on Sunday. He is going to be leaving with a mission of students, and I think parents also, he'll tell us in a minute, to Israel. They'll obviously be spending Thanksgiving week in Israel. In addition, this coming Tuesday, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Rabbi Dr. David Hertzberg is going to be doing us a tremendous service. He is dedicating Israel at 76, which he does every Tuesday for us at 9 a.m., to a very important list of descriptions and explanations. And I will explain what that means. I know I'm looking forward to it. I have to have the discipline to make sure to listen to the entire thing, the entire series, because I got to get all these terms, categories, etc., straight. And what am I talking about? You'll hear in a moment, Rabbi Dr. David Hertzberg. A pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Good morning, Nachum. Thank you for having me back. Always a pleasure.
A pleasure. And what are the numbers like? Do we have a nice complement of students and adults who are heading to Israel this coming Sunday?
So this is actually a student mission. There really no. This is not with parents this time. There may be some that join us, but we have
even better, as we say.
We have, Todah L'Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem. We have, I think, around 30 students, boys and girls, mainly sophomores and seniors, joining us this coming week for the week with really Baruch Hashem a packed-filled schedule.
Well, yes. I would assume it's action-packed and quite full. And honestly, I'm only half joking when I say better this way, just the students. Not that the parents are a distraction, but it's a different type of trip, as you know, when it's students only. And kudos to the parents, because without their financial support and their encouragement, especially now when so many parents find reasons not to send kids to Israel, unfortunately, without their support and encouragement, it would never happen. So a big shout out to all the parents, right?
Absolutely. From the financial to the fact that, they're sending their kids under some level of uncertainty, but Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, tough circumstances. And of course, we're talking about Yeshiva Flatbush High School, everybody. We're talking about Yeshiva Flatbush High School, who have been one of the schools that are leaders. We'd like to know about all the schools, so contact us, but certainly one of the schools that have been leaders in keeping this bridge, this connection to Israel during the war, as active as possible. And you gave us some of the preview last week, or a couple of weeks ago when we spoke. I'm assuming that the schedule just keeps getting more and more full. There'll be a lot of education, a lot of chesed, and a lot of opening up students' eyes to things they've never seen before. And I assume that the list of things you'll be doing just keeps growing.
For sure, absolutely. Now we keep telling the students we have to be on time for on the bus in the morning, after davening, after breakfast, because there's really no slack time. We're driving all over the place. And as you just said, there's chesed, there's military, there's visiting wounded soldiers, there's doing a carnival for kids whose fathers are in Milu'im in Beit Shemesh, is going to army bases. It's really all, all over the place. And of course, as we mentioned last time, Bezrat Hashem next Friday morning at Latrun to close things off before Shabbos, Avigdor Kalani is going to be speaking to the group by his actual tank that's there that he fought in the 73 war.
Unbelievable.
So he's going to be addressing the group.
That would be Thanksgiving Friday for those Americans who are keeping track, right? That would be
Thanksgiving Friday.
The Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. Earlier today, and look, I know these conversations with you, especially because of the show and obviously the trip. So a lot of it's the nuts and bolts of what's happening in Israel and Israel's history. But I just have to, for a moment, Rabbi Hertzberg, use you as a sounding board for something we mentioned earlier today on the air. We're over 800 soldiers now that have been lost on and after October 7th. The number of wounded is astounding, in the thousands, and so many families that have been affected. Plus, on top of that, there's so many families whose where the mothers and fathers and the wives and the children just don't know when they're going to have a normal family life again. That's what's happening, as some reservists are spending months and months in Milu'im in reserve duty. And what I felt was a really important exercise for this audience and everybody outside of Israel. And I know this because it happened to me. I didn't realize how many people I know who are either in the Army Reserves, literally serving now, or who have children and or grandchildren and or spouses, etc., that are serving. If someone would take a few minutes and just sit at their desk and write a list of everyone they've heard over the last few months who is part of this military effort, you can't imagine how many people we are connected to. And I think it is so important to tell that to this audience. It's not just about the numbers, those who are killed and those who are wounded and those who are praying for their safety. We literally, if you think for a moment, you will find a very, very small number of degrees of separation between us and actual soldiers who are now serving in the Israeli military. And I just wanted your reaction to that.
100%. I mean, even in just in our school, we have parents who have children who are serving in the Army that were chayal, but they had, unfortunately, sadly, we lost one of our bogrim, Sami Harari, in Lebanon. The Shloshim's coming up. We're actually going to be there with members of the family.
Oh, it just happened. It happened a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. And we have people serving in it. That's just immediate in the school, besides some of the Israelis who are here for Shkut.
Right.
100%. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know if you read the book by Amir T-Bone, his story and his father who came to save him and stuff. I'm speaking to one of the guys here in Shlichut, and he said, oh, I was in A-200 with him. A-2. And I know the father, I did a barbecue at the father. And I think the founder's making a movie about, the new founder series is going to be a movie about that. And here, the guy here was in the Army with this guy and used to have barbecues by the general's house.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Go figure.
And the references you just pointed out in quote-unquote translation is Shmona Matayim, and it's a very, very good segue because that's one of the units, battalions, you could give a more accurate account of one of the divisions, so to speak, or avenues that the soldiers travel in the Israeli army system. And I bring this up because this coming Tuesday, you're going to be utilizing the 9 a.m. slot, Israel at 76, to go through the different categories and numbers and terms that we need to be familiar with if we want to follow the IDF news even more closely. Shmona Matayim is a good example of that, right?
Correct. And I think the motivation, look, we're very involved and we have a lot of speakers here at Flatbush, as probably do so many other yeshivot and schools as well.
Right.
But following the news, when we hear things in the news, to appreciate what these units do. Also, look, when the inquiries come out and the reports are going to come out, to try to understand what's really going on so that we can be informed consumers of knowledge,
right,
and appreciate what the guys do. So I realized, you know what, maybe I should do some more research in this regard. And then came the idea, maybe you should do a series on maybe, let's say, 10 of these types of units that we're going to hear about. And then I also realized, look, we're going to Eretz Yisrael this coming week. I'm going to be meeting with these guys on the, who are mamash bashetach, or in the field, get some of their personal stories, of course, keeping their identities anonymous, and share that, what it's like. You know, we have a Yamam soldier coming with us, who actually, Yamam, one of the counter-terrorist units we're going to be talking about, who actually fought at the police station in Sderot, one of the most, tragic battles on October 7th.
Yeah.
And that's just but one example, like A-200, the intelligence, you know, that's the Israel's equivalent of the National Security Agency, who listen in to the cell phones and all that stuff. People need to know what that is, and really one of the top advanced units in Israel intelligence system.
Plus, of
course, that's really the motivation for this series.
Plus, of course, you know, terms for combat and terms for Golani and other things that we've heard. I'm assuming you're going to try to go through all of those. How many are there? Like, if someone wanted to have a basic vocabulary of what you're going to be teaching us about, how many are there?
I would say offhand, a basic vocabulary would be at least 15.
Right.
And could be as much, you know, depending how granular you want to get, could be as much as between 40 and 50.
And very doable if they listen to you on Tuesday, correct?
Right. I'll try to, you know, and they can listen to me in double speed. So then they get more in.
Stop making these youthful recommendations to the audience, please, if you don't mind. So, Rabbi Dr. David Hertzberg, this coming Tuesday, brand new series, as we just described, really important if you want the basics of the Israeli military. That's Tuesday at 9 a.m. Plus, at that time, Rabbi Hertzberg will be traveling with students from Yeshiva Flatbush in Israel during Thanksgiving week, really doing a tremendous amount, learning and speaking with those in the intelligence community and, of course, the military community, doing chesed and chesed projects. Plus, one very special one, as Rabbi Hertzberg described, for those families who have been in such a challenging situation over the last year plus. Really a lot going on, and I'm sure these students will have a life-changing experience. And is there an excitement? Are you getting the, let's see, today's Wednesday, so the trip leaves this weekend. Are you getting the idea, walking the halls of the high school, that the students are really getting into this?
So the kids who are going on signed up the trip, Baruch Hashem, are very excited. Nice. And we're also getting the vibe because now kids are still trying to sign up the old tickets for this trip, but we're going again in January. So you're getting that. And yesterday we had a major zechut that Rav Grossman came to speak to the school.
Oh, that must have been incredible.
And we're doing something with at his youth village in Zoharim, Ezes Hashem, next Thursday. And he energized the students by talking about, like, guys, you can do it. Every single one of you can do something, can make a difference, and get out of your comfort zone. And he described, look, you can't get more out of it. You know, I came from Meir Sharm and I went to the discos. You can't get more out of a comfort zone than that.
Can you explain to me how at his age he has the energy of a 20-year-old? Do you want to explain that to me?
Not only that, at his age, he actually spoke with tremendous energy. And then, I don't know, it must have been 400 or 500 students in the auditorium. At the end, he had the guts, I don't know what to say, to teach them a song. Wow. And he's getting there, and they start singing. And they started singing with him. There he is, he's up and down and singing them. I'm telling you, like, just do it. That was his thing, just do it. And the kids all then ran for brachas, and it's amazing.
And you will see him in Migdal HaEmek next week, please God.
Well, we won't be in Migdal, but we're going into Orim, which is more in the Merkaz. And I think he'll be in America still, so we won't see, but we're going to be working with his team.
So he will have arranged your entire chesed
Correct.
Project.
Correct. We're arranged through his chief of staff. I work with here at Tara, and so I think we're good to go, Be'ezrat Hashem. But, you know, it's just... As you well know, you know, being in the room with Rav Grossman is just magnetic.
Incredible. As I said to you off the air, I had the privilege of doing so when I was a teenager, and it's all the same experience every time I meet him. And another trip already in January. I mean,
we have one in January. We have January where Rav Bess is putting it together, and then in February we're also doing one for the first time with eighth graders and their parents, about 30, 35 people putting together. They were doing a trip appropriate for eighth graders, for boys and girls, and that one parents will be going along.
And we appreciate your incredible timing, because it really was remarkable. Yeshiva Flatbush was out there among the first school. I don't even know if there were other schools at that time who insisted on going immediately to Israel right after the war started. And again, any other school out there, we want to hear from you about this, especially those who've consulted with Roy Hertzberg and the Yeshiva Flatbush. But now the regularity with which you're doing it is to be admired. A November trip, a January trip, a February trip, that's pretty amazing and not easy to do. And we know it's expensive. Not everybody could do it. We get the whole thing. But the dedication to it is pretty remarkable. So I hope you get a little bit of rest between trips, but doing this and showing the students how important it is with such regularity is pretty remarkable.
And we just hope, you know, we're to help, you know, any other school that wants any information or help, you know, just the more people that go, the better. The more people that go, the better. That's all I can say.
No question.
And after seeing Rav Grossman yesterday, none of us have any excuses about resting or anything.
Yeah, he doesn't rest. That's true. He doesn't rest. I don't even know if he eats, frankly, except maybe on Shabbos, but he certainly
doesn't. I've never seen him eat. I've never seen him eat.
We did a show with him. It must have been, I'm thinking, 2017 in Migdala Emek, and someone actually said that to me because he was sitting and drinking coffee during the show, and they said that's it. He drinks coffee during the day, and they've seen him actually eat real food on Shabbos, but aside from that, they never really see him actually. Right. Now I'm sure he does, but you get my point that it's, you know, it's low on his list of priorities. Let's put it that way.
Correct. Surely no one will ever say that about me, that they've never seen me eat.
Oh, you and I both, Rabbi. Well, Nesiyah Tova, always a delight, and certainly looking forward to Tuesday. I'll remind the listeners, and I hope everything goes really, really well, and our best regards to everybody at the Yeshiva of Flatbush.
Thank you so much, Nachum.
More coming up. Rabbi Hertzberg and I, we can't avoid it. We can't avoid it. There have been people who have spotted us on different occasions actually grabbing a bite. More coming up. It's Yishai Rebo at JM in the AM.